Besties.
Besties.
We don't do that anymore, do we?
We do.
No, we do it anyway.
We don't.
He told me to do it last time.
Because Grant was there, you f***ing dolt. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best video game of the year.
My name is Griffin McElroy. I'm back, better than ever, and my games are better than ever.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know the best game of the century.
My name is Ross Frostick, and I know the best game of the year? Are we doing year? Year.
Sure.
Justin did year.
Welcome, everyone.
Plant did century. You could do era.
Yeah, I'll go Eon? With epoch.
Epoch?
Welcome, everyone, to The Besties, where four of Earth's best friends pick the best games of the week. Each week, we compare games that have been released, if not that week, very recently, and we choose the best, and then they vie to become our current game of the year. Chris Plant, what's our current game of the year?
Our current game of the year is SSX, a game in which you snowboard with your dead father.
As a snow, you use your dead father as a plank upon which to snowboard trick.
Yeah, because he's very firm.
He's very firm. Very.
That's
dead.
Inaccurate.
Is that not right? I'm pretty sure I recommended the game. So
yeah, like, I'm pretty sure Plant's the only one who played it.
I'm trying to make the show accessible by explaining how you skate with your dad
on top of him.
On top of him. That's fine. Griffin, who's going to start this week?
Can it be me since I was so brutally replaced? I didn't know that best friends were interchangeable, but last week you guys seemed to...
You were surprisingly interchangeable. I found it surprising how easy it was to just slot someone else
felt
in.
Very natural. It did. He was a guesty, Griffin. He's never going to take your place.
Oh, okay. Is that a term you guys came up with? Because I did not listen to the episode.
I came up with it. I felt good about it, but it's no sweat. Griffin, we also reduced the time in your absence to 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? You get 2 minutes to pitch. It's an ever-evolving. It's sort of like Survivor, and then it changes episode to episode, and we're all in bikinis.
Wait, did you watch it last night? Because it was crazy.
No, we're not doing that.
Wait, are we not going down that hole?
No, we're not going. It was crazy. Shut up. We're not old men. We're not watching
Guys,
Survivor.
Guys, Colton is shut up, the devil.
We'll talk about it later, Blaine.
Okay.
us old married men have to busy ourselves
gotta keep
somehow.
Happy.
Right.
I only need like a second and a half to make my case because my game of the week is Mass Effect 3.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I'm waiting for this.
Are you done?
Yep. Just put a button on it, guys. Show is over. Catch y'all.
Everything I've been hearing is that game's bad.
I've heard it's bad. I've heard its ending is badder.
You're right. And here's the ending.
We're not going to talk about it, guys.
We're not being fair to the rules. Griffin, I'm giving you 2 minute pitch.
A side note first. I don't know what's going on in the world of games news because I can't look at my RSS feed without every website wanting to just shove that down my throat. Like, hey, Griffin, put this in front of your eyes.
You mean the ending of the game. People are talking about it.
Stop talking about it, everybody.
Are you ready, Griffin? Are you ready to, like, actually pitch this game?
Let's go beyond the hype together. That's the name of this segment. It's Beyond the Hype, Mass Effect 3, the Mass Effect 3 story. It's a very, very good game. And not just... a friend asked me if it would still be good if I hadn't played the first two games, and a lot of it is the sort of... it gets a lot of residual bonuses from having characters that I, like, really, really like already, the way that it sort of messes with their fates is maybe a little exploitative, but it sure works. But even if none of that stuff was in there, it is one of the tightest shooters I think I've ever played. Like the interplay between cover and shooting and powers is just pitch perfect for me. I'm playing as a I think a Vanguard, which is sort of the up close and personal class, the one with the biotic rush power. So like fights are so dynamic. I have the choice between, you know, just hiding behind cover and sort of peeping out and shooting Gears of War style, or pulling enemies into the air and then picking them off that way, or rushing straight up to them and beating the crap out of them. And it works so much better. It feels like the past two games, you really had to specialize in one or the other. And then once you chose, like, I want to be a powers guy or I want to be a combat guy, you basically were stuck with that choice. And in this one, everything just feels more fluid. And you can pretty much play it however you want to play it. My roommate and I are both playing it. We are the same class, but our characters are totally different in the way we play.
Okay, that's like 30 totally, minutes, right? Totally how much different. Time has that been, Justin? How much time we got?
A minute and 50 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
oh God.
So
use it.
Thank you, Russ, for the... Okay, my last 10 seconds. Russ is a jerk. Russ is a jerk, and Mass Effect 3 is great.
Time. Griffin, I wanted to ask you, since you decided to focus on the combat... I overall feels pretty good. I have had one weird niggling issue where like I pull off of cover super easily.
Yeah.
Has that been an issue for you? It seems like super touchy.
Yeah.
No, it is like you get pulled out of cover pretty easily. Yeah. Like I think if you get hit
hitting the left analog stick in the wrong way will like accidentally pull me out of cover.
It is very, very touchy, and like it takes a while to recognize that you have to bounce between cover. Like you have to look for those little arrow prompts whenever you're near a corner.
What's your importing? Is it import situation for you?
Yeah, I understand there's some problems with the face. Mine actually did import my character's face, but he looked like some sort of grotesque monster. He looked horrendous.
Always looked like a grotesque monster?
He looked pretty boring in the first two games, and when I imported him in this one, he looked like he had been like some sort of horrible motorcycle accident, and like a mad surgeon had fixed his face using nothing but like staples and Botox. He looked like a monster. He looked like he was allergic to bees, and he just got stung by 100
so
bees.
So what did you end up doing?
I just made a new face because they changed the way that the faces look. So like, I don't know how they're going to fix that organically, but like, I just made a new face and like, it's my dude.
It kind of bothers me that they even did that. Like I've been playing the game for 5 years, 6 years, whenever the first one came out and all this time that I've spent with this game and this character now suddenly looks different. That seems like it doesn't have been a priority.
Like I understand. Like Chris Grant, our EIC has been very. Oh, the guy who replaced me last week, he's been very adamant about not playing the game until they fix that. And it's like, it takes 15 to 20 seconds. Just make him again. Just make the face again. Well, yeah, there's no way you're gonna exist in this job that we have for another week and a half without somehow figuring out how the game ends because some self entitled. Comes up to you and says, the universe explodes. That's not the real ending, by the way.
Now I don't want to alley-oop someone else, but 15 to 20 seconds, how long does it take to beat a level in your game, Mr. Russ Frostick?
Oh, am I going now?
Yeah, this is the alley.
That was the alley. Do you know what happened? I threw it to the hoop. Yeah. And you just let it hit the backboard.
You jumped up and you hit your teeth on the hoop. fell down and died.
I just wanted to say that I built a new face for myself, but I was happy to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I look very handsome now.
My old Justin looked like a thalidomide baby version of me. So I was happy to be done with him. Now he looks like a handsome, swell, no sugar addiction version of me.
This is the handsomest character I've ever made. So kudos, BioWare, for creating an engine for facial creation that doesn't just turn out 100% uggos.
Well, while you guys were making handsome gentlemen, I was busy saving marshmallows from hot chocolate fire. Yes, you heard that right. I forget what I said. Marshmallows from hot chocolate.
Does he even have to go?
Everyone was wondering, how can you follow Mass Effect 3? And apparently the answer is
I found a way. And the way is Coco Loco on iOS. Okay, so here's the rundown. I'm going to give you the rundown. Start the clock, Justin.
Go.
Coco Loco tells the story of a cadre of marshmallows who are living peacefully until one day a series of cocoa beans comes upon them and decides that their civilization needs to be disrupted. So they dress the marshmallows up in costumes, humorous costumes, and try to embarrass them. So it's your job to save these marshmallows from being stuck in these costumes. Okay, so that's the story. I don't want to bog you down too much with the discourse or the narrative. But the gameplay is basically Angry Birds, but with fluid dynamics. Do we all know what fluid dynamics are? If you've played a game like Where's the Water, another iOS hit, or Pixel Junk Shooter, or Fluidity, you know, where, like, water's flowing around.
Squirtin'.
Squirtin', if you will.
Squishin'.
Okay. Squishin' and Squirtin'.
Okay.
The sequel to Squirtin'.
Settle down, guys.
Squishin' and Squirtin' too.
Anyway, you throw these marshmallows into, like, hot chocolate cups, and they tip over and wash down the landscape, and any marshmallows that touch the hot chocolate get, like, saved. Like, you're knocking, like, eggs in Angry Birds.
Now, what do you kill?
Are they bad guys? Oh, the cocoa. Yeah, the cocoa beans are bad. So they're, like, the pigs in Angry Birds. Now, it does seem like an Angry Birds clone, but the fluid dynamics kind of adds some gameplay techniques where you can, like, block a bunch of water and it'll, like, rise up to meet enemies, stuff like that. So there's, like, puzzle elements that aren't really seen in Angry Birds. Also, there's a ninja marshmallow, which is something to take note of. And I think that's better than Mass Effect 3. So what up?
Time. Oh, my God.
Time. What now, the hell?
No, guys. I want to give Russ the benefit of the doubt here, because right away I see something that puts this above Mass Effect, and that is the story, because like, I get what's happening here. Yeah. Like, it speaks to me, and I get it.
I mentioned the thing about the costumes, right? That where they're dressed up in costumes.
What does that have to do with the story? I'm trying to help you out, and now you're adding in all this complicated BS.
I don't understand the plight of the marshmallows, I guess.
They're dressed in clothes.
They want to be cooked in boiling chocolate.
Yeah, they want that too. It's a little weird.
It sounded analogous to the exploitation of the Native American people by the pilgrims, you know? But then
when we boiled them all in hot chocolate?
No, when they embarrassed them by putting them in costumes.
Oh yeah, no, that was pretty close actually. Because there is that's the connection that they're trying to make, but they're marshmallows.
Wait, you think that is the connection they're trying to make?
I think it might be because there's like this there's cave drawings at the beginning of the game showing the marshmallows dealing with this stuff, and I think that might, you know, I think Griffin might.
You do realize that cave drawings they originated in Europe. Right?
What are you talking about? Native American cave drawings.
Oh, hold on, guys. You don't think Native Americans drew on caves every once in a while?
Do you draw on a cave or do you draw in a cave? Do you want some help with your prepositions?
Sometimes on, sometimes that. You could draw on a cave. Why not? A cave wall?
No, that would be drawing on a mountain. You draw on a mountain.
This is
the racistest thing we've done on the show so far.
I don't think it's racist to say that some Native Americans might have drawn in.
We're cavemen. Caves. Yeah, no big deal.
I was not saying
that. They're cavemen.
Guys.
First the Viking painting, now this.
Okay, and there might have
like one Edward Norton away from. So, this is killing me.
I mentioned the part about the marshmallows, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Better than Mass Effect 3.
I want to learn more.
Okay.
Because you played it, right, Justin?
Yeah, I played it. What the f*** is wrong with you?
What? This was a great game. Didn't you like
it? It's a game about marshmallows.
But
like,
weren't you instantly attracted to this game?
Yeah, but like, how did you get so brassy that you would be like, oh, space epic, eh? I got something for you. Mm-hmm. I got the antidote to that.
Some people don't want to stare at cutscenes for 3 hours. Some people just want to play a game.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
How much groundbreaking homosexual sex is in your marshmallow game? Groundbreaking homosexual sex.
Does it need to be groundbreaking?
Yeah.
It's not just, what if it's just run of the mill?
No, I mean, like, stepping over boundaries, you know, crossing...
I haven't gotten to any yet, but...
So, no...
But you are holding out hope.
I haven't three-starred the whole game yet. I'm
Is there an in-app purchase?
Ending.
Is there an in-app purchase you can make?
No.
For groundbreaking homosexual sex pack?
No.
Okay.
Well, then, in that case, I think we are ready for halftime, then.
All right.
Griffin.
Yeah.
South by Southwest.
Hey. It happened.
How was that?
That's my. Is it over?
I mean, music is still going on, but interactive is dead and gone.
Four days of peace, love, and music. That's mm-hmm. what they call it.
4 days of free tacos and the swampiest ass anyone's ever gotten anywhere.
How do you
hey, come to the hottest, come to the hottest part of the world and wear these jeans and just like chill downtown for 8 hours. How's your ass? Ah, pretty damp, huh?
Does Austin just like suck right now? Is it brutally terrible?
No. I don't have to leave my house for any reason. I can pretty much just live off the land and
forage.
I can just, yeah.
Do you know who had it right for Swamp Ass? This is just a story about Swamp Ass.
No, come on.
But when I was in Tokyo for the first time, when you walk around the streets, people hand you toilet paper.
Hey, well, that's not a good Swamp Ass solution.
I mean, it's a very temporary. It'll dry you out. But
is it for that though?
I don't think it's because a lot of their bathrooms don't have toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
So random.
So you like you always want to have some on hand. So they give you toilet paper, and it's like branded toilet paper. It'll be like, hey, maybe I should buy some Pikachu because he's on my tea paper.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
And you're
that is very fascinating.
You're supposed to in the street or?
No, you dummy.
What are you talking? No,
you're not even.
They have the world's most advanced pooping technology. Are you, why would you poop in the street when you can?
Okay, but
laser.
If you
okay.
But if you went into a bathroom, they would have toilet paper in the bathroom.
You are an uncultured plebeian. First, you think that Native Americans were drawing on top of caves.
Not on
then
top of them.
You think that in Tokyo you poop in the street. Have you read a book?
I just don't
read
understand why anyone would give you free toilet paper if toilet
and you think marshmallows
can have
gay sex. Marshmallows aren't even people.
No, that's not in the game yet. I
you know, it's attitudes
yet.
Like that allows that genocide to continue. Plant.
Marshmallow genocide.
The cocoa genocide.
The cocoa genocide. They're not people. Let's spill hot beverages on them. That's not cool.
Okay, but seriously, Griffin, gamification.
It's real. It's everywhere. I've heard about in Tokyo they have gamified toilets. I don't even know how they work, but I want to win one.
But what game do you have to play to win one? That's the question.
You have to play through all of Pokemon Blue.
Not red.
Right there on the toilet. But don't poop in the hallway or you'll get your Pokemon credentials disqualified or something.
Sorry, what?
You didn't hear about that? There was a Pokemon tournament in London, I think. And
the guy had a little Squirtle.
Winning team, back in the hotel, no big deal, just took a dump in the hallway of the hotel. And they got their victory stripped from them by the commish. By Professor Oak.
Professor Oak's such a hard ass.
Professor Oak said, "Nah, I'm gonna take that back. You did something awful."
I like that they can get in trouble for flinging their crap, but Nintendo doesn't get in any trouble for.
Come on, make it work.
Yeah.
Hold on.
No, get it out.
No, wait, I can do this. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Okay. Yeah. No, that was good. You really threaded the needle.
It was good. It was close.
That was close.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Plant, I'm really curious to hear what game you're bringing to the table this week.
Okay, well, I have the game of the year, and it is called... Oh, did I say game of the year? Yeah, well, I'm going to keep it. It's called Journey, and it is a game that allows you to play with anyone... You know, in the world, it could be your pop-pop, it could be your best friend, it could be someone you don't even know, it could just be anyone. And Griffin, you referred to this as, like, the chat roulette of video games. I think that's pretty good comparison. So if you know absolutely nothing about Journey, which I don't know how that would be possible at this point because it's all over the internet, the idea is you are on a journey as a piece of fabric across this giant desert scape and eventually to climb up a mountain. And as you do this, you kind of have this Pixar movie-like awakening about the world around you, and something happened to this place, and you're figuring out it, and you're figuring out about who you are and who kind of the gods of this world are. And every once in a while, you'll find somebody who looks just like you, played by someone else, not somebody on your friends list, just some random person. And you don't know their name. You can't talk to them. You can only communicate with them by, like, creating a little ping noise. But being around them kind of makes you a little bit more powerful, so you're encouraged to stick with them. And the crazy thing is, since you don't have them calling you a game-o and ruining your game-o, you like, actually develop a bond with them. So at near the end, if things start going sour, you feel really bummed out when you don't have this person anymore who you don't even know who it is. And the best part about the game is, and this is not really a spoiler, but after the game, after the credits, a screen comes up and it tells you who you played with. So these this single identity is actually often like a couple people because it kind of like became different people along the way who are taking that role. And it's, like, terrible when you see it, and it's like, oh, I beat this game with Nun Nuts 2 and Dingleberry 18, and I hate New York 43. You really got me through that final burst. And you're like, wow, these people probably suck. But, like, we had an amazing experience together, and I really want to meet them now.
So it's like the old adage about anonymity plus, you know, internet equals... it turns people into monsters. This is like it circles back around. It's like anonymity plus the internet minus the ability to communicate.
Yeah, you know it's like just enough to communicate happiness. Like I feel like if you just let people use the A button on your keyboard from now on, like the internet might be a really better place.
I've noticed a really great thing where whenever I'm playing and I run into a stranger, like you said, you can sing with the circle button, so you can either do like a quick like ping, or you can hold it in and do like a burst that restores their energy. But whenever I'll find somebody, we'll do like a call and answer, like Simon style, like echoing each other. So like you press the sing button like three quick times, and then they'll press the sing button three quick times, or like they'll do shave and a haircut two bits, and you'll do shave and a haircut two bits.
It's like
a totally organic.
Matters.
Yeah, there's no reason to do it, and it's not communicating any particular message.
It doesn't give you more bullets or anything?
No, you get zero more shotgun shells, but it's like it's just like a neat little social experiment.
Chris Pine, I've got a question for you. Can you prestige in this game?
Well, you know what? Kind of. You can, because once you finish the game, you are motivated to immediately start playing it again.
Because you only have one game.
Because you get a golden gun.
because you're poor.
No, you get a trophy, which if you've never played a PlayStation game, is a poor man's achievement.
Burn.
Chris Plant, let me ask you: do you think it's possible to find love through this game?
I think it's possible to find love in a battlefield.
It's not a battlefield though; it's like a sandy wasteland.
Yeah, right. It's a sand field.
Can you find love with a total rando stranger?
I think I kind of did. There's a part at the end of the game where this is the saddest thing in the world.
Can you not spoil the whole game?
I actually
don't want you to talk about this.
I'm not going to spoil the game.
I already know more about the game than I wanted to because of you.
All I'm going to say was there's a part at the end of the game where he like leaned in close to me and I leaned in close to him, and you know, we pushed through. We got through.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what, man? I think I love you. And he's like, hi, my name is Gamo23 and I hate you.
So was this precipitated by groundbreaking homosexual sex?
I mean, in a way, yeah. Because we don't know what's going on underneath those fabric, you know?
Yeah, okay. You know what's happening?
I don't know what's there.
Coitus.
Coitus.
Coitus is happening.
Coitus.
I take issue also, you're not playing Fabric, despite what you said. You're actually like a person wearing a robe.
You have no proof.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Fabric is not sentient.
I don't think you understand what world this takes place in, because
the real world.
You don't understand history. Before the Native Americans were drawing on caves, there were pieces of fabric that walked around on the earth.
God, just the more we say that, the more racist it becomes. It's just a big racist snowball.
Someone's going to write in to the podcast with historical documents of cave drawings somewhere in North America from like tens of thousands of years ago, and I'm going to be right and not racist at all.
Listen to the podcast first.
That's...
This has gone on long enough. I'm ready to drop the bomb on you guys.
All right.
This week, I have just been addicted.
You spent like a real... How long have you spent with this game? Because I know you've been really dedicated.
How long have we been recording?
It's MotorStorm RC Team. And
don't think a team
is that what it's called?
There.
RC Team?
I think it's just RC.
You're looking at you're actively looking at your Vita right now playing this game. I don't know why you can't just look
RC
at the title.
Cola presents Racing.
Wait, it's actually sponsored by like Scion, right? Isn't it the name Scion, like MotorStorm RC Scion presents free game?
Yeah, it is a Scion joint. It is a free game. It is it is a MotorStorm game. If there's a connection, I think it feels that way in sort of like the loose physics of that world, but this is a very different feel. They take the RC thing seriously. The view is much more a much wider angle on the action. You do look
it's
like
totally
a
different.
Tiny,
it's top down.
You look like a tiny little car.
Because you are that.
Because you are that. But it's not. But like in terms of perspective, a MotorStorm car could look like an RC car. You know, if you're zoomed out enough, but this feels very RC-like. And you zoom around. The controls take a little bit to get used to because you're navigating through, like, a 3D space rather than on one axis. So you're...
Stick, the main game, you navigate in a 3D space.
Do I not get uninterrupted pitches just like everybody else?
I just want to make sure you're saying right things instead of wrong things.
What are you asking me?
It's the same, like you're still navigating a 3D space no matter what MotorStorm game you're playing.
This but it's top down, and like a top down racer, the controls are constantly changing depending on which part of the track you are on.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Right.
Just
exactly.
Clarifying.
So you use the right stick to go forward and reverse, and you use the left stick to change your direction. So it does take just a little bit of getting used to, but it feels very natural for this style of game. Like I said, the physics are really loose and fun. There's a bunch of different cars that handle differently no matter which one you're using. Graphically, the cars you can't see much of. Like I said, way zoomed out, and it's on the Vita, so it's like, you know, it's a portable screen. So it's kind of hard to see, but the levels look really nice. There's some nice lighting in those. But the very best thing about MotorStorm RC is that it is free. If you have a Vita, you can go and have it and play it and get it, and it doesn't cost you anything. And you can play with friends, you can play with family, you can play with anybody.
It's asynchronous, right?
It's asynchronous and little secret hidden up my sleeve. It's got ghost times on it. So if it's got ghosts in there,
well, that can't, my dad's already dead, so like he can't he can't throw down any more ghost times. You
can't
know?
Unring right. that bell
can't yeah
can't unring that dead bell. But anyway, that's MotorStorm RC. I think it's very enjoyable, and also it's like it's free, so just go get it.
First question.
Okay.
When did you start playing it?
I started playing it 20 minutes ago.
Okay. So during the actual literal podcast.
I started downloading the moment we started recording. It's a new concept I wanted to bring to the show called Flash Focus.
Okay.
And what I do is I start playing a game when we start.
You disengage from the conversation completely.
Was this while I was pitching my marshmallow game?
yeah, it was. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
But yeah, I've just downloaded it and I just really got into it pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Just really kind of saw all the bells. And
would you say you've really experienced the fullness of what the developer was trying to get through with the title?
Well, I feel like the game itself, if you remove all the knobs and dials, what the game is really about is risks and taking chances.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really got that. Like, for example,
what's the difference between risks and taking chances?
What?
What's the difference between risks and taking chances?
One is one word and the other is two.
Okay.
What I discovered, like, for instance, about risks and taking chances, when I said that there are ghost times and that you can race against friends, like, I don't know, mate. That was a risk.
That has less to do with the actual game, though, and more about how f***ing dumb you are because you didn't do this earlier.
Yeah, but, like, I took a risk in saying those things out loud because okay. Someone could come behind me and say, like, hey, that's you. You goofed. You goofed. But that's my game, and I think it's the best game. Best game of the show, pretty obviously.
So am I right to understand you have not actually played a ghost?
I believe if you... Okay, if you play a level
why
that you've already played...
Why do you
want
to lie to me?
Justin, no, I've got a quick question for you. When I spoke to you yesterday, and I was like, hey, Justin, you know, we're recording the podcast tomorrow. You're bringing a game, right? What did you tell me?
You asked me what game I was bringing, and I said A... Said I was bringing my A game,
which was hilarious.
And then you said that was cute, and then you thought about how cute it was for 18 hours,
and then
it was 20 minutes ago, and you started playing RC Racers.
Right, and the most ironic thing about it is not only is my A game not an actual video game, that by not playing a game, I am in fact not bringing my A game.
Yeah, this isn't even your B game.
Yeah,
this is like I did the wrong game. I played bocce ball. Like I did it wrong.
So Justin's game is out. Hot Cocoa's out.
What? What? No. Yeah. Hot Cocoa though. Okay, fine. I know it's gonna lose, but it's really good. Check it out.
It is good. It is a fun game.
I recommend you check it out.
It really comes down to Journey and Mass Effect 3.
Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to put my coin in for Journey. And here's why. We were discussing earlier about the non-communication multiplayer aspects of it. And we had talked about like meeting a life friend or whatever. But imagine this scenario.
Okay.
You live in the West Bank. You might be playing this game... And you're, you know, having some fun, trying to, like, ignore the problems in the world. And
you genius.
You come upon another gentleman.
Are you going
in the desert?
World peace it.
And this other gentleman is like, boop, boop, boop. You know, you can't talk, but you're just like, oh, we have a quest. Why don't we just help each other on this quest? And you go about your quest solving the mysteries of this world of Journey,
falling ever deeper in love,
falling ever deeper in love, and the game ends and the credits roll and his name comes up as I live in Israel 20 and suddenly the Middle East conflict is over thanks to Journey.
That's great.
I don't know what you're going to bring.
Mass Effect 3 also has multiplayer, so you could just get in the lobby and be like, I love Israel.
Yeah,
like,
but there's voice chat.
I'm not sure, but let's...
No, but you're missing the point.
Voice chat.
You would shoot each other, you would voice chat. It's no different. But Journey strips away everything,
allows
you to bond with someone free of, like, creed or race or religion, and then you solve, like, it gives you world peace.
World peace.
Guys, I got to go with Journey.
Boom.
Well, Journey. One second. Chris Plant, actually, you owe me a vote for last
No, I don't know if you remember, but they said that I couldn't do that even though I wanted to.
I mean, I didn't say that, and like I don't know, I'm calling in the debt. Like, I'm calling it in.
Well, it doesn't matter, because Griffin, you can't vote for your own game.
Oh,
what makes you guys so uncomfortable about groundbreaking homosexual sex? Because that's all I'm hearing from you is I like Journey because it doesn't push my buttons, doesn't, you know, try to subvert.
I'm just about peace. I just want the killing to stop. That's all.
Okay,
I care
so
about.
I need to. So here's the recap right now.
Okay,
I'm for Journey.
Okay,
Russ is for Journey.
Russ is for Journey. Plant.
I can't vote for my own game, so sure, I vote for Mass Effect.
Okay.
Griffin. And
Griffin, what do you vote for?
Mass Effect.
No, you can't
vote for your own game.
Yeah, the thing is,
whoever this is a new rule that you
That's
were.
That's another new rule. I meant to tell you. I'm sorry, but yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Okay, so guys, Journey is the game of the week.
I think
but
it is.
Is it our new bestie?
Can I just say, like, the ability? Russ has really swept me away with his narrative. The ability to cure all the world's ills by stripping away all the things that separate us, I think is very powerful tonic.
And let's also explore the option that my dad dies while somehow connected to the internet. He forms a ghost in the machine.
Ooh.
Journey ghost dad. He's Palestinian and I'm Israeli. I don't know. Two birds, one stone. I miss you, Dad.
That's my daddy.
I'm prepared to go down this path and say that Journey is the new bestie.
I agree.
Holy crap. Ladies and gentlemen, our new bestie, our current best game of the year, Journey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Guys, we keep shooting the cannon indoors, and like, seriously, what is going to beat peace in the Middle East? What is going to beat that?
I didn't think reviving your dead dad was going to be beaten, but we found a way.
Yeah,
so.
We found a way.
Well, there are many ways this could shake down. Like, what if PSN breaks again?
Right. Yeah.
If PSN breaks for a week, Journey can't solve.
What if that was loses. The week? What if that was the week when Palestine and Israel become one beautiful nation?
Well, if the Middle East conflict actually ends and everyone makes peace, then this is probably no longer our game of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can really count on that, guys.
Get on it, Obama.
How about it, Obama? So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. If you want some actual, real, insightful video game coverage, please go to theverge.com/gaming. That's the Vox Games corner of the world right now while we build our own site and prepare our own brand. But you can also follow us on Twitter at Vox Games. So do that and you'll get lots of scoops and lots of news and reviews and insight. And be sure to come back next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Besties!